American woman. It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water. What it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapped down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation and welcome to the show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Go over to Facebook and give us a like, and be sure and sign up for our weekly newsletter at KimMunson.com. You will get the first look at all of our upcoming guests, as well as the most recent op-eds and the Sounding Off with Kim Munson podcast. So be sure and do that. We've got a great show planned for you today. We will go through some headlines in this first segment. Second segment, John Kellner, district attorney candidate for Arapahoe, Douglas, Elbert, and Lincoln counties, will be on with us. We're going to talk a bit about the crime is increasing here in the Denver metro area. And it is so important to have safe communities for people to be able to thrive and prosper. And then he also has started something called a Veterans Treatments Court. And so we'll chat with him about that. Segments 3 and 4, Brad Beck, co-founder of Liberty Toastmasters, a good friend of mine, has written an op-ed, I Have Questions. And I think it'll be a really interesting conversation with Brad Beck as well. Be sure and stay tuned. This Friday, we are going to have a big announcement regarding the I'm a Trumpster Minority Bus Tour. So be sure to listen in on Friday. We will be breaking the news on that, so be sure and listen on that. As we look at these issues, we look at them as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Ultimately, socialism comes down to force, and it is never compassionate to take other people's stuff, their rights, their property, their freedom, or their livelihood whether with a weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, or fear. If something is a good idea, it should be able to pass the muster test in the battle of ideas. And so we ask these questions as critical thinkers: what, why, when, how, where, and who. And I always want to say thank you to this great team that I get to work with. That is Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie, and the people here at Crawford Broadcasting, as well as thank you to each of you listeners. You're treasured, you're valued, you have a purpose. Today, strive for excellence, take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. So how are you doing, producer Steve?
Nauseous.
And because why? Did you eat something that it disagreed with you?
I consumed something, but it wasn't through the process of eating. It was the hats off to the Democratic Convention.
Democrat,
people.
Not Democratic. We call them Democrats.
I'm glad you catch me on that every time. But I didn't witness any of this directly last night. But, you know, they're so gifted at churning out nausea. You can consume it later, you know, via the just by looking at the different sources of quote-unquote news. But, the gentleman who spoke last night, Colin Powell, John Kerry, Bill Clinton, they're gifted. They're gifted at saying things that just make somebody nauseous. It's like we haven't been paying attention for the last 10 years, and they're going to enlighten us. It drives me crazy.
Yeah, this whole elitism is really an unattractive thing. This looking down on other people, thinking that they're smarter than everybody else. And that's, you know, what's so great about the American idea is that the American idea is that government and elites should be smaller and that the individual should be bigger and have all kinds of opportunities. And so this particular election cycle, and go to my website and read Jay Davidson's op-ed. This is a time for choosing. We no longer have the luxury of sitting back and very pragmatically saying, oh, I'm voting for the person who I think is the best. We don't have that luxury right now. This is a battle for our country. And the two questions that are there is take a look at Portland. Take a look at the Denver, the capital down in downtown Denver, the Colorado State Capitol. Take a look at all of these different cities that have been under Democrat control for quite some time, and they are being destroyed. And so that is the question. Do we want division and destruction, which we're seeing all kinds of division coming out of this Democrat National Convention? So do you want destruction? Do you want division? Or do you want to work towards the American idea of prosperity and for all, not just some? So what we see is an idea. Do we want to lift people up with it? Do we want people to have the opportunity to lift themselves up, or do we want to drag people down so that then the elites can rule over all of us? And so this is no longer a question about which candidate. This is a question about the vision for America. And so even if you may not love a Republican candidate, we must, from a strategic standpoint, vote Republican. And then we need to not, you know, not pay attention. After the election is over, we need to make sure that whether or not it's our city council, our county commissioners, our state representatives and senators, or our federal offices, we need to make sure that we are engaged and hold them accountable, Steve.
And then there's the buffoonery that comes along with, you know, I mean, each of these guys had their, you know, the ones I just mentioned, Colin Powell, John Kerry, Bill Clinton, had their particular theme. And again, it's like we haven't been around for the last 12 to 15 years and haven't been paying attention, and they know the truth. But then, and then there's also the audacity factor. I can't believe Bill Clinton has the audacity to tell Donald Trump how to behave in the Oval Office. Bill Clinton and the Oval Office.
Yeah.
Think about that for a second.
Yes, yes, yes.
John Kerry's theme was that, oh, well, Trump has isolated us among other nations. You know, so his foreign policy is disastrous. I think, wait a minute, John. The way you handled foreign policy was to go along with all the clowns of the world, Iran, in China, and play along. Donald Trump has the fortitude to stand up and say, no, we're not playing along anymore, because what you're doing is not good for the United States.
Well, and when you say it's not good for the United States, it's not good for everyday hardworking Americans.
Exactly.
And so Donald Trump is, certainly he's not a perfect person, but he does, I think, care. None of us are perfect, though. That's the thing with those on the left is it's an impossibility for us to live as perfect people. But we can strive towards perfect ideals, these ideals that all men are created equal, with these rights that are given to us by God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And as Calvin Coolidge said, if all men are created equal, then that is final. We don't need to have all of this diversity and tolerance and all that. If we are all created equal, then that is final, and that is what we need to strive for. Instead, what we're seeing, once again, is hiding behind all of these different words, racism, or, you know, all the words that they use, is ultimately they're looking for power. But Steve, I wanted to mention a couple of super exciting candidates that are running for Congress. I had you take a look at this. Sean Parnell, he's running for Congress in Pennsylvania. He is a veteran. And if you would like to do your heart good today, go and actually Google the videos of each of these candidates. So Sean Parnell is running for Congress, and his video on his website is so good, but it has a lot of humor to it. So I would highly recommend that you do that. So again, it's Sean Parnell, Parnell, and take a look at his video. And then YouTube, the social media has got to be just blowing up regarding Kim Klasick. She has done this amazing video walking through the streets of Baltimore. She is a black woman, extremely attractive. She's got a red dress on, red high heels, and she walks through and she calls it, you know, how it really is in Baltimore. And so I'd recommend that you actually try to find her video as well. It's Kim Klasick.
Was it Elijah Cummings? Is she taking or running for his?
I don't know which seat it is.
Because I think it was Cummings who was...
it might be.
And again, he didn't have much to stand on, because Baltimore is Baltimore is what Baltimore
is. It's an extremely dangerous city.
Yes.
And so it would do your heart good. So Sean Parnell and Kim Klasik, and that's K-L-A-C-I-K. And it's a great way to start your day off. And speaking of a great way to start your day off, our quote for today. Did you happen to look at it yet, Steve?
I did. And once again, you found a goodie.
Okay.
Incredibly ancient words, I guess we could say, but boy, do they apply.
Well, Jay Davidson had sent something over, and Marcus Aurelius was a Roman emperor from 161 to 180 and a Stoic philosopher. He was the last of the rulers known as the Five Good Emperors and the last emperor of the Pax Romana, an age of relative peace and stability for the Roman Empire. And he served as Roman consul in 140, 145, and 161. He was born in 121 and died in 180. And Jay had sent over some different quotes. So I thought, you know, I'm going to check him out. And so this is Marcus Aurelius. And he said, "When you arise in the morning, think of what a precious privilege it is to be alive, to breathe, to think, to enjoy, to love." Is that not a, I just thought that was pretty awesome.
Well, so many of us, we wake up every day and we've got whatever's happening that day or other things that are pressing on us. And we just take that basic thing right there and we take it for granted. The fact that you're even awake and breathing and your heart's beating is a miracle.
It's a lot. And so there's a lot to be grateful for. Let's see. How are we doing on time? Let's see. I think I'll mention just one headline here before we get into that, though. And let's see here. I think this is kind of important. For the first time in memory, this is from the Business Journal, Colorado is not home to one of the 50 largest quick service restaurant chains. Colorado was once the epicenter of the national fast casual restaurant sector, and we're no longer home to any of the 50 largest quick service eateries in America, according to rankings published this month by QSR Magazine. This is the first time in at least 15 years that the Centennial State is without a representative. It has three chains among the magazine's contenders, those concepts ranking number 50 to 65 in the annual list, but the lack of locally headquartered brands on the main rankings reflects two changes to the local sector in recent years. First, it acknowledges the relocation of some of Colorado's largest brands to other states. Chipotle left Denver for Newport Beach, California. Qdoba, moved to San Diego. It's interesting they're moving to California. And second, it reflects the downsizing of what now are the largest chains in Colorado. Golden, headquartered Boston Market, which was the only QSR 50 member from the state last year, closed 54 units over the course of 2019. So, you know, what it takes a while for these policies that we've seen that are being pushed by a Colorado legislature and governor, it takes a while to have these things start to affect our economy. But I think we reported yesterday that the CU Leeds Business School reported that we're going to lose 128,000 jobs. So that's why these elections are super, super important, because we can turn this thing around. But the way to turn this around is you must vote Republican this election cycle, and you must vote. Many churchgoers apparently have not voted in some of the past elections, thinking that, oh, God's just going to take care of it. And actually, you need to step forward and do something about that. And then also many times veterans don't vote, which is so interesting to me. People that have actually put on a uniform and said that they will protect the Constitution, they need to make sure that they vote to protect the Constitution as well. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking with John Kellner. He is running for district attorney in Arapahoe, Douglas, Elbert, and Lincoln counties. And we'll talk about the safety of our communities and also a program that he has, started. So you'll want to make sure that you stay tuned for that. Before we do that, though, Hooters Restaurants is one of my very valued partners. They have five locations: Loveland, Westminster, Aurora, Lone Tree, and Colorado Springs. They have happy hour specials Monday through Friday, 3 to 6 p.m. lunch specials. Wednesday is Wings Day, all the wings you can eat for $15.99 if you dine in. So go to order.hooters.com for more information. That's order.hooters.com. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back with John Kellner.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can sign up for our weekly newsletter there. That way you get the first look at all of our upcoming guests, our new op-eds, our new Sounding Off with Kim Munson podcast. And then go over to Facebook and give us a like as well. On the line with me is John Kellner. He is a candidate for district attorney for Arapahoe, Douglas, Elbert, and Lincoln counties. And John Kellner, welcome to the show. I don't know why when I'm getting ready to talk to you, I always get the A county mixed up, but it is Arapahoe County, John Kellner.
Yeah, good morning, Kim. And to be fair, you know, Arapahoe is right next to Adams, but yeah, the 18th Judicial District is Arapahoe, Douglas, Elbert, and Lincoln.
Okay, well, John Kellner, these races, I realized as I was starting to get to know you and Matt Durkin and Tim McCormick that these DA races are so important. I saw last election cycle where George Soros was putting money into many of these different elections, trying to get DAs placed in different cities. And then we're seeing what's happening is these cities are becoming more and more dangerous. And actually, before we jumped in here, producer Steve had wanted to make a point about this whole conversation on defunding the police and putting in these district attorneys that don't really uphold our constitutional law. So, Steve, you wanted to make a comment.
Well, I'll try to be real brief here. Last week, the Seattle City Council voted to go ahead and defund the police. And the very next morning, the police chief resigned. And she, good for her. And on that same day, I ran across something in social media that said that when Hitler was building his A-team, Hermann Göring was one of those people, and his first assignment was to defund and disperse the police departments across Germany. I was like, well, why? Well, as not to interfere with Hitler's brown shirts, you know, another group whose mission was to riot, burn property, beat up, and kill citizens in an effort to sway elections. I was like, wow, does this sound familiar?
Yeah, seems like deja vu all over again.
Yeah, this defunding the police, I think it's not just some contemporary idea. It's we've seen it before.
Well, and we need to have safe communities, John Kellner. I mean, that is the bedrock for people to be able to thrive and prosper. And so Patty was looking, we were just, you know, we've heard an increase in crime. So this is just a few things here just recently in the metro area. The Denver Channel said that Target employees were stabbed and assaulted during a robbery at the Glendale store. The Denver Post, 2 dead, 5 injured after shooting near Federal Boulevard and Alameda Avenue. 9 News, shots fired into vehicle driving on Colorado Boulevard. 2 people hit. The victims drove themselves to the hospital. That was early Sunday. KKTV, 1 shot outside an apartment complex in downtown Colorado Springs. KKTV, 2 shot outside the Pueblo Arby's. This is not good, John Kellner. And that is why people need to really be paying attention. So your thoughts?
Well, it's certainly true that violent crime has been going up dramatically, really since the start of the lockdown. There was a dip, right? And then after things started to open back up, and as we hit some of the summer months and the protests and the riots kind of took off around the country, we started to see a dramatic increase in crime. And look, I can't tell you all the reasons why this is happening. I think it's a confluence of a lot of different circumstances. But I think the attitude towards police right now, certainly the narrative, the feeling of a lack of support from elected officials that, you know, parrot the defund the police sort of talking points, is leading police officers to feel much less supported in the work they're doing. And I think that makes it harder for them to then go out and do their jobs the way that we hope and expect that they'll do it. And that is, you know, proactively, that is, you know, with the appropriate amount of professionalism, but also in a way that's forward-leaning, that's looking to prevent crimes and not just respond to them. And I think what we're seeing right now is this, you know, everything kind of working together in a bad way and producing the results we see right now. And I'll tell you, that those things you read off, that's just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, every single day, I'd say going back 2 months practically, I feel like I've seen a notice of another shooting in the city of Aurora. I think we're up to, and this is a terrible number, not one you aspire to, but 30 murders already or 30 homicides in Aurora. And last year, I think we hit 18 for the entire year. So we're on pace to have a really bad year. At the same time, we've got that throughput in the judicial system is completely slowed down. It's not bogged down because of COVID restrictions. You know, things are not opened up. We just had some of our very first trials over the last few weeks in Arapahoe and then in Douglas County, but those are misdemeanors. You know, the courts are looking at trying to open up and do some felony trials in September. You know, we're taking that approach slowly. So you can imagine there's not only a lot more crime happening, but then there's a bottleneck when it gets to the court system. And that's building up a lot of pressure.
Well, and we are seeing this play out in our communities, and the safety of our communities is the bedrock for people to be able to thrive, prosper, take care of their families. And instead of the destruction and the division and tearing down of our communities, and I don't know if you heard it in the first segment, I mentioned this Kim Klasick, who is running, she's a Black woman, she's running for Congress in the Baltimore area, and she walks through Baltimore, and she says, this is what years and years of Democrat, electing Democrats has done to our community. And so instead of trying to tear our communities down to that, we as Americans want to build our communities up so that everyone lives in a safe neighborhood. That should be our goal, John Kellner.
I think that shouldn't just be the goal, obviously, but I think at everybody's core, regardless of whatever party you're a member of, that's what you want for your kids. Like, that's what you want for your grandkids. You want a safe place to raise them, safe place to be able to, you know, go down the street and go to King Supers or wherever it is. And send your kids walking to school, you know, just a couple blocks away. That's all we really want. And, you know, as a district attorney, that's what I've been fighting for, at least for the last 8 years in this community. In the 18th Judicial District. Before that, I was a DA in another part of the state, and before that, a prosecutor in the Marine Corps. This is what I've been doing my entire career.
Well, and so these are super important races. We've got just about 2 minutes, John, and you mentioned that you are putting together a program, the Veterans Treatment Court.
Yeah, so
that sounds exciting. What is it?
Veterans Treatment Court, it's not something that I just put together. It's something we've been doing now for several years. It's something I helped start. Collaborative effort with the courts, the defense bar, with the public defenders, and we all got together and we said, look, we can do better for some of these veterans that are getting involved in the justice system that, you know, maybe they deployed like I did and came back with, you know, something wrong, like maybe PTSD, maybe they got into drinking or substance abuse because of some experience they had. And that's ultimately led them into the criminal justice system. And so we wanted to create a court where we could actually help those veterans, get them plugged in with all the many resources, the great community groups out there, veterans affairs, mental health treatment services, things like that, homelessness services, and try to get them out of the criminal justice system and get them back on their feet. So this program has been incredibly successful. We've served over 100 clients. Right now, we probably have about 35, maximum capacity of 40. The program takes about 18 months to 2 years, so it's no joke. It's not like a, you know, hey, you served, and so you're getting out of consequences. Far from it. This is a very difficult program to complete, but we give them a lot of resources to do it. But here's the thing. We've had only about 1% of veterans who've successfully completed this program. found guilty of another offense. So think about that. The average across the country for recidivism is 40%. Colorado is even worse. It's about 50%. And this program is taking people who were on a track to maybe go to prison and then putting them back into society as the hardworking, honorable people they are, and not just kind of setting them on their way, but giving them a support network, right? Helping them find jobs. And it's been an incredibly successful program. I'm really proud to have been a part of setting this thing up and still on the steering committee. Basically, we set all the policy for it. But it's something I want to try to expand more as the next district attorney, is this model for reducing recidivism works. And what else can we put it into? I've got a couple ideas on how we can expand that moving forward.
Boy, I find that super exciting because for people to live full lives, that would be our goal for everyone. But I love that you're doing this with veterans. As you know, I have a heart for veterans big time, and thank you for your service in the Marine Corps. How can people get more information, John Kellner, and how can they help you?
Well, anybody that would like to help out, please go to www.johnkellner.com. That's JohnKellner.com. You can sign up to volunteer. Yes, we do have volunteers working even during the COVID times. We're being smart about that, of course, but you can also donate from there. And just reach out with a message if you want to support. You can find us on Facebook at John Kellner CO or on Twitter at John Kellner CO.
Okay. John, thanks so much. We'll talk to you in a few weeks.
Thank you so much.
Okay, and Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management. Happy Wednesday.
Hey, happy Wednesday to you, Kim.
So Patty had found this piece. This was in Barron's, and I had texted you to see if we could talk about it today. And sure. The S&P 500 bottomed 100 trading days ago, and it's fitting that the index decided to take a rest and contemplate just how far it has come, and it has really come far. So tell us about that, because the last 100 days, the title says it's the best 100 days since 1933. I mean, that's amazing, Jason.
Well, it is. And what's also interesting is yesterday the S&P made a new all-time high. Before the virus started, it had hit 3393.52 on February 19th, Kim. Well, yesterday it hit 3395.06. So it did make a new all-time high. Now, look, as far as, this being the best 100 days or the fastest 100-day move it's ever had, I've got to be a realist. I'm not trying to be a party pooper, rain on your parade, Kim, but really, that move was just recovering what we had lost in a very quick fashion. So don't get me wrong. I'm glad that we recovered those steep and severe losses in 100 days, which is very quick. But, I can't call it like forward progress, because we just got back to where we started literally yesterday. So the forward progress actually would start today. Does that make sense?
That does make sense. So a couple of things, Jason. I remember having our conversations, as the whole COVID lockdown thing started. I mean, there were so many unknowns in the market, had gone down significantly. And I just remember sitting here having this knot in my stomach about, what was going to happen. And here we are now in August, and it's recovered, which is good. And looking forward, typically the market is looking forward with hopefully optimism. But the point that you've made on a rather consistent basis is if when the market crashed kind of like it did, and it was your stomach was just really churning, now is a time when we're hitting these new highs, getting back to where we were. You may want to just assess your risk tolerance, because when the market crashed, people realized that maybe their risk tolerance was different than what they thought it was.
Well, that's true. And there were probably some folks who, got scared and maybe sold at the wrong time. Let's hope not. That's always a really rough feeling. But there may be folks who just grit their teeth and they bore it and powered through it, and now they've fully recovered, or at least close to it. But you're right, they still have that lingering feeling in their stomach that I don't want to go through that again. I can't afford to go through that again. And again, with the markets being back up, if you held on, it might be a great time to think about making some changes to put some more defense on the field and, you know, somewhat monetize the gains we've had over the last 100 days.
And you, Jason, and your colleagues at Presidential Wealth Management, you've been around for a while. You're the people to sit down and talk with. And people can reach you at 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. And go to our landing page together, airpresidential.com. You had done an analysis of the Trump tax cuts and then also how the Trump tax cuts worked out here in Colorado. And you compared between 2017 and 2019. And it's fascinating. So I'd recommend that people go to airpresidential.com and just email you so that they can get a copy of that.
Yeah, that's very helpful. It's educational. And it simplifies the reasons why maybe your Colorado tax is higher than it was before.
So great analysis on that, Jason McBride. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a great show, Kim.
Thanks so much. We're going to go to break. When we come back, Brad Beck, my friend, co-founder of Liberty Toastmasters, is on the line, and he's written an op-ed, I Have Questions. And I'm going to be really interested to ask him about that, because I always kind of looked to Brad for answers. So the fact that he was asking all these questions was very introspective. So we'll be right back.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, Kim Munson, MONSON.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
Welcome back to The Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. You can sign up for our weekly newsletter where we roll out all of our newest op-eds and our new Sounding Off with Kim Munson podcast. And go over to Facebook and give us a like as well. On the line with me is Brad Beck. He is a co-founder of Liberty Toastmasters. Brad Beck, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim. It's great to be in Colorado, great to be alive, and great to be on your show.
You must have listened to the quote that we did by Marcus Aurelius this morning, although you're one of the most optimistic people that I know, Brad Beck.
Well, I love that quote and the Coolidge quote this morning.
Yeah, for sure. Let's talk a bit about your op-ed. You know, I always talk about these questions that Rudyard Kipling had asked, who'd written The Jungle Book, and he said, I keep six honest serving men. They taught me all I knew. Their names are what and why and when and how and where and who. And in this op-ed, you really take on the question of why. As I was reading the op-ed, and this will be rolled out this week in our newsletter, I'm thinking, this is so interesting because I look to you for answers many times, Brad Beck. And so it looked like this was more questions. And so it was very introspective. So what were you thinking?
Well, it's interesting that you have that perspective, Kim, because I do have answers on technical things, on skill set things like Toastmasters when we work on our public speaking and being extemporaneous when we're asked a question. But I started this out thinking, okay, what's going on and why? And the why is really the fundamental. When you're a kid, you ask curiously, why? Why do I have to eat my spinach? Why do I have to put on my shoes? I'd rather run around in my feet. And as you grow older, you stop listening to the because I said so, and you start saying, but why? And to me, why is foundational really to our understanding of any cause or purpose or reason why things are going on? And it's been the question that man has been looking up at the stars and saying ever since the beginning of time, why? Why am I here? Why is the food way over there and I have to go hunt for it? Why am I not warm or why am I cold? And all these whys that I think we've had from the very beginning. But when you're a kid, you know, there's all kinds of little humorous whys. And, you know, why don't we go skip? Why don't we go to the movies? Why can't I have another cookie? And then you start thinking about some of the other humorous things, like why is my hair falling out? Why do my pants not fit? Where are my keys?
The dry cleaners are shrinking them.
Exactly. And, you know, as you grow, you continue to ask why. That's why you go to college. You want to know the serious inquiry of, you know, why are things the way they are? And then when you get to a certain age and you're starting to get in the real world, you have the political whys. Why am I paying taxes? I'll never forget when one of my daughters, the youngest one, started working for a company, and she said, "Daddy, what's this FICA stuff? Why am I pulling my money out of my paycheck?" And you start asking, why leads to another why. It's like looking something up on the internet and going down a rabbit hole and finding sources and finding names and finding different things that this idea of inquiry in our lives, it should be a lifelong learning experience. And so it's really at the core of who we are.
You know, Brad, as you're mentioning the question why, I recall talking with a friend of mine who is, I would say, politically inactive, but curious. And as I would bring forth different things, just kind of like, for example, the state capitol being defaced and destruction to the state capitol, and would put forward that this was happening. And her question is, why would they do that? And that is an, I don't know for sure why they would destroy property. I mean, we can surmise, but those are questions when people come at me as I'm kind of putting out facts and putting out things that are happening, and they ask, why would they do that? I can't answer that question.
Well, the bigger question I have is, why isn't our governor doing something about it to protect the people's building? Why is it that our Denver mayor is marching with the folks that are creating the problem? And you have to keep asking these why questions, because there's something behind it. There's a statement behind that. And so I'm always asking, but why? My wife will tell you, I'm always asking, why do I have to do that? Because I said so. It never goes away, right? But when you find out the basis of what's down there, when you peel back the onion, it's just like when Simon Sinek wrote or did a great video, if you go on YouTube, on why, you start to see that it's foundational. It's at the very core of everything we do. It gets to the heart of the matter, as you used to say in your program, and it allows us to understand.
So I think it is important that we really dust off this question, why? And this particular election cycle is really an important time to do that. And I've seen, you mentioned going down a rabbit hole on researching things. And I have seen in some conversations, people will say, oh, you just watch Fox News, or you just watch CNN. And if we're really going to ask the questions why, we need to dust that off. And, you know, if you see a news story that is of interest to you, don't take that as gospel right now, no matter what news station that you're listening to. But dust off that word why and say, why is this happening? Get more sources, read more on the subject, instead of just taking a soundbite and making a decision from that, Brad Beck.
Absolutely. Well, and the bigger questions, you talked about the young lady in Baltimore running, Kim Klelsek, I believe her name is. Great video. I've looked up Sharon Parnell. They're both great. And they have the question of why in there. So as a citizen, I have a question. Why do I have to pay to open a business in my community? Why are free markets better than socialism? Why does the government take certain, power positions and forces a citizen who should have the right to protect themselves to register to go get a gun? These are all fundamental questions, and it's about freedom over force. And I think a lot of times that's where the whys land. You know, we don't always agree on all the public policy issues. And yet we have to seek to understand the other side so we're able to articulate what they're thinking and be able to address it. Not fight it, but address it. And look at it from the same side of the page that they're on. And oftentimes you can start with a yes as opposed to a no. And that leads to people getting greater understanding. Now, it doesn't always work. I'm not a utopian. But I do look at all the different media. And what's interesting is their perspective, where they're starting from, where their whys start from. And when you start looking at that, you go, okay, that's interesting. Why is that their starting point? And you start digging deeper. There's a lot of similarities on things, but there's a lot of things that you have to scratch your head and say, okay, I don't get it. Tell me more. And let them explain it. I mean, that happened during the McCarthy era when there was hearings and, you know, certain people got tangled up in a pretzel because they started to keep talking and they talked themselves into something that they couldn't get out of. So today we have that same issue with people. They talk themselves in incredible pretzels and they can't get out of those Gordian knots.
So, Brad Beck, let's go to break. When we come back, I would like to address something that I think we grew up with, and that was you don't talk about politics or religion in polite company, and where that has actually led. I want to get your perspective on that. So this is Kim Munson. On the line with me is Brad Beck. He is a co-founder of Liberty Toastmasters. And go to liberty.toastmastersclubs.org for more information on that. We meet, we have two clubs. One meets the first and third Saturday at II. Oh, speaking of that, Brad, did you see that Independence Institute, II, was broken into this last weekend?
That's right. And there's a big why. Why would somebody sneak in while our club was having a meeting? The Independence Institute is gracious enough to allow us to use their facility, as they do other organizations. It's a couple blocks from the Capitol. And it's right across from a police station. This is what blows me away. And somebody snuck in during our last meeting on Saturday morning, as most organizations leave the door open to allow people to come in, free access in and out. And they hid out, and then when the meeting was over and we locked the door, they destroyed the inside of the building. So I'm urging everybody not only to donate to their favorite candidate, donate to the Kim Munson Show, but go to II and send them a donation because they really do great work.
I guess we're going to have to change our protocol on that, Brad Beck.
Yes.
Okay. And then up north in Longmont, Liberty Toastmasters meets the second and fourth Saturdays of each month. And my friends, as we engage in the battle of ideas, we need to be able to communicate. And in order to do that, it really helps if you would go to Liberty Toastmasters. You will get better. You will be able to communicate. You'll get your brain around your ideas. So we would welcome you to join us as long as you're not going to try to sneak in and tear things up. So Brad Beck, we'll be right back. This is the Kim Munson Show. Stay tuned.
Metropolitan Total Property is more than landscaping. Locally owned and operated since 1987, their team is proud to be your neighbor and live in the community. Metropolitan Total Property stands behind their work, and your complete satisfaction is their top priority. Kim Munson highly recommends Metropolitan Total Property for landscaping and more. She was one of their very first clients way back in 1987. Be sure to check out MetropolitanTotalProperty.com for their complete menu of services. Again, that's MetropolitanTotalProperty.com.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lorne Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lorne Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lorne Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lorne Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. Go over to Facebook and give us a like. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. Brad Beck, before we get into this subject that I wanted to ask you about, I find this so interesting that yesterday Donald Trump, he was going to pardon something. There was a big, you know, who's he going to pardon? Who's he going to pardon? And he pardoned Susan B. Anthony, who she had been, I guess, convicted of voting as a woman before women had the right to vote. And so he pardoned her, which I find so interesting that nobody did that before. I wonder why, Brad Beck.
That is pretty funny, isn't it?
It is.
And there's one of those situations, you know, most people don't know that the great Frederick Douglass was one of the first, and actually the only one, man who was at the Seneca Falls committee meeting where the women got together and started to formulate the idea of women's suffrage and organize. And he spoke there, and most people don't know that he was one of the staunchest supporters of women's rights early on. And you don't hear about that history, and that's the fascinating things of so many. Why don't we learn these things? You know, and is there an agenda? You look at kids' history books today, and
if they have a book,
true, that's it. I mean, they're online. I was doing a program that I was asked to participate in a local high school here, and when we were doing inquiries to their sources, almost 99% of them were internet sources. Only one of the students had actually read a book and used that as a reference. And I'm thinking, wow. Now, technology is great, don't get me wrong, but we should be encouraging our children to read primary sources from books. It makes a difference.
You know, a quote earlier in the week was Albert Einstein, and it was, if you want to help your kids become more intelligent, read them fairy tales. And if you want them to get more intelligent, read them more fairy tales. And there is something about reading books and actually having a book. And I hope that we move towards that, because with the internet, things can be changed. And that is why it is important to have the written word. And just mention Frederick Douglass, because I'm not sure all of our listeners know about him, but he was born into slavery, but he was freed. He had the ears of presidents. I mean, he was really an amazing guy. He was also a Republican. So tell our listeners a little bit more about Frederick Douglass.
Well, I just finished a super book by Timothy Sandifer. And he wrote a book called Frederick Douglass, Self-Made Man. It's a short book, but it highlights why Douglass is so important, and we don't hear enough of him. In fact, some of the woke crowd found a statue, I think, in upstate New York and threw it into the local
Honest.
River. And it's like, really? I mean, this man was about an independence, about personal responsibility, about pride, about economic freedom. And he understood that we are all naturally equal, universally free. He didn't understand at the beginning because, as you mentioned, he was born a slave, but he was curious. He was taught how to read, and he always wanted to learn. He was smart as a young student, but he kept pursuing this idea of education and finally figured out that the Constitution was a great liberty document. And that's something that they're not being taught. You know, the school children today are taught about the folks that are protesting and the Black Lives Matter, which is really a socialist organization. And I have to ask, why are people not looking into where their money is going into? If you want to support an organization that does something in the local community, and you can see where your money is going. But to go to a Marxist organization, I mean, it says what they're about right on their website.
It does.
And it's amazing to me that people don't get that.
Well, and interestingly enough is if you, people have sat me down and tried to explain to me that there's really kind of two things, and there is Black Lives Matter, that people say, yes, those lives matter. And I think we agree. And of course, if you say all lives matter, then that's considered quote unquote racist. No, all lives matter. And as Coolidge said, if all men are created equal, then that is final. That is where we want to work towards, Brad Beck.
Yes.
And so now I lost my train of thought as I was getting on my soapbox here. But then the other component of it is there is this that we care. And I think that there is that component of it. But then that has been hijacked, as you mentioned, by this Marxist organization. And when you connect the dots, if you go to Black Lives Matter, the website, and you hit contribute, I cannot believe that they didn't even hide this. If you contribute, the clearinghouse, where the money goes, is Act Blue. And Act Blue is the big Democrat fundraising arm. And so we hear Democrat candidates and politicians say, we want to get money out of politics. We want to be representatives of the people. But when you connect the dots, that's not what is really happening. So, Brad Beck, why?
That's a good question. Now, I grew up, Kim, as you know, in Southern California in a very liberal part of the community, and my folks always voted Democrat. And I went to a L.A. City school system school and got an okay education. I won't say it was terrible. This is back in the 60s and 70s. But I was curious, and I was always reading a variety of books, especially history and things of this nature, literature. And I was always curious of, okay, but why? And, you know, when you look at things together from the same side of the table, you're more likely to find another question, usually another why, but you're learning together. And so many people are across the table or across the aisle. They're not looking at it together, and they're not saying, let's chip in and figure this out. Why don't we make this happen and both benefit? It doesn't matter whether you're left or right. What the idea is, America, and people used to believe this on all sides, and I think some still do on the left, but the progressives definitely don't, is that this country is an exceptional nation. Where else in the world, in the history of mankind, did a group of people come together and say, you own yourself by right, that the government or a chief or any other authority owns you? That was the history of mankind. Mm-hmm. And yet in this country, in two decades, we fundamentally got rid of the institution, that strange and peculiar institution of slavery. We didn't invent it. England had 900 years to get rid of it. France, 1,000 years. We did it in two generations. Was it perfect? No. No human is. But we did something that was unique. And the question is, why? Well, our founders studied history. They studied other republics. They studied other governments. They studied human nature. And they asked those foundational questions of, why is it that we're letting this one person, who supposedly comes from, his power comes from God, misplaced version of it, and we the people own ourselves. You know, you go back to Magna Carta, and even before that, people were asking these foundational questions. When Americans came here and we were far enough away from England, we started having our own governments in Virginia and Massachusetts. People were saying, well, we get along without all that nonsense. We like the goods that we trade with. We trade value for value, but we can take care of ourselves. We can be self-reliant. And so these things started to really ferment, and people decided, hey, you know what? We don't need England as an overlord. We're free people.
Well, and to that point, which I'd set up before we come back to this particular segment, is I remember where they said, well, in polite company, we don't talk about politics or religion. And I'm kind of like, well, what else is there? You know, I mean, these are the things that we ask, why? Why are we here? What are we to do here? You know, these questions. And you mentioned the word curiosity. And in my journey to get to the point where I am, I went through, I would say, an angry period where we had extremely robust conversations with friends and family, because I couldn't quite put my brain around what was happening. And finally, I realized with one of these conversations is, I said, you know, I realized that you have no intellectual curiosity, you know, and that was kind of an aha moment for me. And I never want to be accused of never having intellectual curiosity. I always want to be curious and try to find these answers. We've got just a couple of minutes, Brad. What's your final thought? Maybe your comments on this, Brad Beck?
Well, you know, the great Samuel Clemens, otherwise known as Mark Twain, once said there's two great dates in someone's life, the day they're born and the day they discover why. And to me, that's so present. I mean, people really need to find their why they're here, why they do the things they do, why kindness matters, why being good matters, why looking at beautiful art and listening to poetry and beautiful songs and really discovering those things. That curiosity is key. And so you have to keep asking the question, why?
Well, that is for sure. Brad Beck, thank you so much, and we'll talk to you again next month then.
Awesome. Thanks, Kim. Have a great afternoon.
Most definitely. And before we close the show, as you know, I buy my airtime. I have these valued partners, and you hear them throughout the show. And the way to help me is to make sure that you use them when you need whatever, you know, business that they're doing. And a new partner of mine is Castlegate Knives. They've been, they're a family-owned business. They're located right in Sedalia, and they have all kinds of knives for collectors, for kitchen knives, great kitchen sets, great for wedding gifts, military knives, knives for sportsmen. And so I'd highly recommend that you go out to Sedalia and check out castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com. They are a valued partner of mine. And again, all of these different vendors and business people that you hear throughout the show are one of the reasons why we are on the air. And so I greatly appreciate each and every one of them. And our quote for today is Marcus Aurelius. And I thought that this was pretty interesting given Brad Beck's subject. He said, the opinion of 10,000 men is of no value if none of them know anything about the subject. There you have it. So today, my friends, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you and God bless America.
Young, like a new moon rising, fierce through the rain and lightning, wandering out into this great unknown. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't serve.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
KLZ AM HD Denver, the source AM and FM. AM 560 and 100.7 FM. 560thesource.com.